Join me today as I break down some of the most powerful choices you can make when it comes to pushing. I love this topic because I think a lot of you guys don't realize that you have way more power than you think. So join me, listen in. If you haven't subscribed yet, do it now and make sure to leave a review when you're done listening. Okay, let's talk about pushing. The teaching topic I'm going to be talking about is pushing like a pro and pushing that makes sense. And some of this is like a no-brainer, but unfortunately, our society does not show us that it's a no-brainer, right? So my goal today is to help you guys understand that you can't just wing your birth and you can't wing pushing. Please don't. If you understand the need for prepping your body, prepping your skills, and then combine that with your internal instincts, you're going to be a freaking pro at pushing. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about. So one of my most favorite quotes by Ina May Gaskin. If you don't know who Ina May Gaskin is, she is the mother of all midwifery. And this is her quote, "Let your monkey do it." And I love it so much because what she's saying is like, we oftentimes, when it comes to birth and pushing in particular, we get in the way of our natural instincts. Hence why I am so against lithotomy. Lithotomy pushing is so stupid unless there's like a real emergent reason. It should not be done. Okay, so we're going to talk about why skill and instinct. So let me talk about two parts of that. So we're going to talk about education, which y'all know I am 100%. You have to be educated for your birth. And we're going to talk about trusting your gut. And this is just a mini section of my Push Like a Pro class that I do. So education, why education when it comes to your birth in general is because you have to understand the stages of labor, because the movements that you do pre-labor, during early labor, during active labor, during transition, and during pushing are so different in some ways. And it all really depends on the passenger, the baby. So you have to be educated. You have to take an evidence-based birth class so that you can recognize what stage of labor you're in. And you have to take a class that teaches you how to move your body. And that allows you to move more effectively. Okay, so being educated allows you to recognize the stage of labor. It also allows you to use the right position, because we can actually slow our labors down, whether it's anxiety and fear, which is usually related to the unknown. Again, education. But we can also move our body in a way that's not really helping where our passenger is located in the pelvis. Being educated allows you to silence the fear and the negativity. We are all carrying around limiting beliefs around different things, whether it's believing that every woman in your family has a C-section, so I'm going to have a C-section, or my mom had a hard time pushing, so I'm going to have a hard time pushing. Limiting beliefs are really, there's no room for them in your birth, especially your pushing. Being educated allows you to release fear. It allows you to choose your position instead of it being chosen for you, which is ridiculous, in my opinion. No one tells you how to poop, right? You should be able to push your baby what feels right to you and to know those different positions and what they're good for. If you are educated, you're able to pull the right skill and tool out of your tool bag when you need it. That's huge. The other thing that education gives you is the confidence to speak up and to say what we want when it's contradictory to what they are saying. But when you're educated, you're able to speak up for the birth and the pushing experience that you desire. Ultimately, that's the most important, because this is your birth. For me, it's my job. For your doctor, it's their job. They're not going to walk away feeling feelings about your birth for the rest of their life, but you will. So being educated gives you the courage and the confidence and the boldness to speak up and speak out against what you may not want or what you do want. And it allows you to pick the pushing experience that you desire to have. And being educated, studies and stats and science, you know, they show that the more educated you are for birth, and I'm not talking about, you know, a hospital class or a class that tells you the policies and the procedures. And oh, by the way, you can do this or that, but you really have to follow these rules. I'm talking about a class that's going to empower you to make your own choices, not anybody else's, including mine. Women who have taken a full birth class, the studies show that they have lower incidence of unnecessary interventions, a higher chance for a vaginal delivery, and they leave their birth feeling more satisfied. So now let's talk about your education. If you're not educated, you're going to have a hard time listening to your instincts, because the instinct that's going to speak the loudest is going to be your fear and your flight or fight syndrome. Because when you're not educated, you're going to be so anxious about all the unknowns, because there's a lot of twists and turns in birth. So when you're educated, when you understand what's going on inside your body and around you, and you're not having to worry about trying to decipher things, then you're able to tune into your body and really listen to your instincts. And honestly, one of the most powerful tools you have is your instinct. But we drowned it out with all the confusion and all the doubt and the negativity. And, you know, a lot of times as women, we doubt and we suppress our natural instincts when it comes to birth and think the doctors and nurses know more than me. But that's really not true. And again, both education and instinct allows you to tune out negativity and to trust your poop skills. Because you're pooping out a baby, basically. Not technically, but sort of. Because you're really using those same muscles and same skills. You've been doing it your whole life, girl. You can do it now. I promise. You can push this baby out. You are powerful enough and capable of doing it. Do you need to know pushing positions? Yeah. Do you need to know the ones that, you know, are more likely to tear or less likely, or which ones will help your birth be faster or slower, or which is best for you particular? Yes. And we teach those in the courses and show you the power of practicing them. So they're second nature to you. Now, I always say do what comes naturally to you. So I always want to tell you guys, like, don't push on your back unless you want to. I was unmedicated with all six of my babies, and all six of them at the end, I ended up back on my back because that's what I wanted. So if you end up on your back because you want to, go you. That's fine. It's not a problem. Advocate for what you want. Tell your doctor what you prefer, and then zip it. Because when you're pushing, if I'm there, okay, mama, let's get your legs in the stirrup and let's get you on your back, and you don't want to, just say no thank you and then keep doing what you want. Because I'm not going to manhandle you and put your booty into the stirrups or on your back. I'm not going to forcibly flip you over. So when it comes to pushing, we can tell you what we want you to do, but girl, you do not have to actually do it. And you don't even have to say no. Just ignore. Don't do it. During Ashley's birth a couple weeks ago, her name is Ashley. She's training to be a postpartum doula. Got pregnant with baby number two. She was actually one of my students for baby number one, for Cooper. And she got pregnant again. And she asked me to be her doula, which was awesome. And so I went and spent a week with her in Kansas. And I loved watching her put this into practice. Her nurse was telling her to hold her breath and, you know, doing closed glottis pushing. And Ashley just smiled at me, winked, and just kept breathing and moaning and making noise. So if someone tells you don't make noise, that's bull. If you want to hold your breath, she did a mix and she did some holding her breath, but she chose it. Trust yourself to adjust and navigate what your body is telling you. And your body may not tell you, you know, to do the same thing. So the next thing we're going to talk about is, like, what can you do right now? So people ask me all the time, and a ton of you guys put in the question, what about tearing? How can I prevent tearing? Will I tear if I already tore? Tearing, the biggest factor when it comes to tearing is your genetics. Some people are just predisposed, just like some people are predisposed to acne or scarring. It's skin. Your perineum is skin. Some of you guys are more predisposed to tearing. However, you can minimize the type and degree of tearing by doing some key things right now. That is eating a healthy diet. That is the most powerful thing you can do for every aspect of your labor and delivery and your pregnancy and your pushing. Have a healthy diet. Now, you can still have your treats and your snacks or whatever, but have a good, healthy, whole food diet. Make sure you're eating every food group. And if you have some restrictions or something, make sure you're getting that form of the food group in some way. The next thing is staying hydrated. Stay hydrated. That is going to be your best defense for less pain. Stay hydrated. The other thing that you can do right now with your pushing is work on your mindset. Trust your body. Prep yourself. Educate yourself. I'm not negating the power in that. But I also want you guys to trust your stinking body. Your body is powerful. Your body put together the fingers and toes, the heartbeat, the nose. Your body can show you how to push. Now, we have to get out of the way so we know how to listen, but your body is powerful. And I want you guys, if you're watching right now, type, "My body is powerful." Shoot me an email, "My body is powerful." Yes, that's right. Zara, your body is powerful. I'm seeing them flooding in now. 100%. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Your body is powerful. Put that on a sticky note. Put it in your car. Put it on your desk at work. Put it on your mirror, wherever you're going to see it. And when you see it, I want you to stop and say, "Trish reminded me my body is powerful." Tell your partner to tell you often, "Your body is powerful. Hey, you know what? Your body is powerful." Because we actually, when we train our brain, we believe what we say. And you know this is true because of all the nervous Nelly things you're telling yourself right now, it really affects your experience. And if you are anxious and nervous and saying in your head, like, "What if I can't push? What if I'm not a good pusher? What if I'm too weak? What if I'm too overweight? What if I'm too out of shape?" All of those things affect your birth and your pushing experience. So from now on, when you start having the negative thoughts, flip it to, "My body is powerful. I'm going to push like a pro." All right. So the next thing is, yes, learn the positions. Do not wing your birth. I say this all the time. If you don't know your options, you don't have any. So if you don't know all the pushing positions, I can guarantee you that they're not going to show them all to you, right? They're going to use the ones they're familiar with, which is usually the thotomy. So you have to be the one that takes initiative and learn the positions. I say use purposeful positioning. That is my positioning class that you can add on when you join my classes. It is entirely dedicated to pregnancy, early labor, active labor, and pushing positions. That is all it is, positioning. And it's video-based, and I tell you the rationale, and I teach you how to practice them. It's very, very detailed. Now, we go into that in the course, but not as detailed as this. And if you've already taken a birth class and you're on baby number 2 or 3, and you need a refresher, purposeful positioning is the perfect class for you. But if you're buying the full course, just add it on. I think you get a one-time offer that's insanely low. But I called it purposeful positioning mainly because I pulled you guys and you guys named it, because I suck at naming things. And it's purposeful positioning because you have to be intentional and purposeful with how you move your body, because you can either block the baby or open up for the baby. A lot of people think that your pelvic floor, you have to tighten and push out with your pelvic floor, but actually you have to release it. You have to relax and release. And that takes skill. It's not something, you know, we do it when we sit on the toilet, which is why the toilet is called the magic spot during labor, the dilation station. Okay, one of the questions I got a lot was, "Can I get on my hands and knees if I have an epidural?" This is Ashley. She was actually a VBAC lab student, which means she had had a cesarean and wanted to have a vaginal delivery. Ashley had had a cesarean with baby 1 and baby 2 and wanted to have a vaginal birth with baby number 3. So she was a VBAC 2C. This is her in labor. And for those of you guys who asked me, "Can I push on my hands and knees with an epidural?" This is Ashley in labor with an epidural. And you can see the picture on the right. That's Ashley on hands and knees with an epidural running. If you look really closely at the top of that picture, you can see her epidural pump. But trust me on this one. She has an epidural. You can see the tape going down her back. She is incredible. But she said during pushing, they found out that the baby was face up, OP, not a good position. And the doctor wanted to use forceps or do an episiotomy or something like that. And Ashley's like, heck no. Because she knew the positions, she knew her rights, she knew the interventions, and she knew what would be more powerful than forceps or an episiotomy would be using her freaking body. And so that's what she did. She didn't go straight to intervention. She went straight to, oh my gosh, birth is a natural process. How can I open up my pelvis? And so she did, baby flipped, and she delivered baby vaginally. Yes, you can, but your team will have to help you get over. Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about, I want to show you guys this because this is so important, okay? I want you to look at this picture. Someone message me or comment and tell me, what is the top of that say? What type of positions? If you're listening right now, I have a graphic of a bunch of different positions that they use during surgery. So what kind of positions are these? Surgical. Yes, that's right. Surgical positions. Lithotomy. Birth is not surgery. Does that not piss you off? You should be mad that the go-to position that they use for your birth is a surgical position. Your obstetrician is trained as a surgeon first and foremost. This is why I love obstetricians who I call them, they're like OB midwives. And then you've got midwives. Now, there are some midwives I call medwives who act more like a doctor. But obstetricians, they used to only do the surgeries. They didn't do an uneventful birth because they're trained as surgeons. And we use what we know, right? So their go-to position is actually for surgery, not for birth. So I want you guys to know that position was actually came about because of a pervert king who wanted to see his women delivering, and he stood behind a curtain and the doctor put her in lithotomy, all of his wives or women, so that he could have a good view. Well, they still use lithotomy for the same reason, for a good view. For who? For your provider. Lithotomy is convenient, right? But who is it convenient for? The provider, not for you. So unless there is an emergent reason, you do not have to agree to lithotomy, okay? So we're going to talk about one of the most powerful tools that you can use during pushing. Gravity. Simple. Why? Because gravity is common sense. You don't lay down to poop, right? You don't lay down. That would be kind of weird. So gravity is common sense, and we don't go against common sense when we're constipated. Well, you're more constipated than you've ever been before when you're pushing out a human being. Trust me on this one. It's like the biggest poo you have ever taken. Gravity increases the space in your pelvis by 8 to 30%. That is huge. So tell me, why do they take women back to the OR or use forceps or vacuums before they use gravity and positions? I don't get it. I do not get it. So a gravity-assisted position, I've got some on here. The mama on her side, when you're using gravity with a sideline, you would raise the head of her bed some. So squatting, sitting up, standing, hands and knees. Those are all gravity-assisted positions. Produces stronger contractions than Pitocin. Now, I can tell you from 16 years as a high-risk labor and delivery nurse, there is not one doctor who comes on the floor that's like, do you have her up in gravity-assisted position? No, they come on, they're like, is she on Pitocin? How much Pitocin? Did you go up on the Pitocin? What milliunit of Pitocin is on? Go up. You need to go up quicker. Go up faster. Give her Pitocin. She needs Pitocin. No, we should be saying, hey, how can we work with her powerful body to get this baby out and to make her contractions stronger? Your body has everything it needs inside of it right now. So you need to know these things. You need to know the positions that you can use during birth to make your birth shorter, smoother, faster. Hence why I've been teaching that class every week. The other thing that if you are listening now or listening on the podcast, then you can go to labornursemama.com/faster and join that class. So using gravity and upright positions, less fetal distress. You're up and you're moving. The baby has more movement and has more oxygen flow. It also decreases your sensation of the pain. So it makes you feel that the pain is not as painful. These are all winning reasons to use gravity. Again, this is why you have to learn the proper positions to work with your body. All right. The next thing we're going to talk about is station. So let me get you a picture because it's so much easier. All right. So station is a huge thing. And if you need to come back and screenshot this and spread it out, you can see it a little bit more. But station is where the baby is located in your pelvis. Now, when you join my birth classes and you add purposeful positioning, then you get my pelvic movement guide, which we suggest that you print out, put it on a 3-ring, and take it to your labor room, because it shows you what positions to do based on where the baby is in the pelvis. That is everything when it comes to pushing. If your baby is up above that middle line that says zero, you do not want to be pushing. That is not time to push. That is time to use the right positions to move baby lower. This is why we talk about laboring down. So I'm going to talk about what that means. For my moms who are planning unmedicated, there ain't nobody really that has to tell you to push. Your body tells you to push. And that looks like you might be talking, and you go, and start pushing right in the middle of a sentence, talk, and pushing. You will feel the urge to push if you're unmedicated. Listen to your body. So here's a tip. If you're unmedicated, and your nurse checks you, right, and says, oh, you're 8 centimeters. And then 5 minutes later, you feel the urge to push, and your nurse says some nonsense like, well, you're only 8 centimeters. Girl, you could be full. If you feel that you need to push, chances are very high that it's time to push. So I always say listen to your instincts. Now, if you have an epidural, that is a little different. And so we're going to talk about laboring down because it's very, very important. So on the next slide, I'm going to talk about laboring down, but I want you to keep this picture in mind. When you're looking at this, we recommend to our students, and I recommend to you, that you delay pushing until you're at a +1, +2, preferably +2 station. So you can see how low down into the pelvis that is. So here's what I want for you guys. When your nurse checks you, if you have an epidural, you're probably not going to feel the urge to push. Sometimes you feel the pressure and it's hard to not push. In that case, baby's probably at a perfect station. Let's start pushing. I want you to say these words. You ready? What is my station? What station am I at? What station? Where are you at? Hello. Yes. Thank you, Jean. I love it. Perfect. So remember, that is very important because we're going to talk about what laboring down is. Let me find the slide for that. This is why timing matters. You need to, if you're unmedicated, delay pushing until you feel the urge to push. If you are unmedicated and you do that, you're going to have a much better, shorter experience. With an epidural, you're going to wait until you're at what station? You've asked her. If your nurse checks you and you have an epidural and she says you're -1 after you say what station, are you going to push? Are you going to wait? You're going to wait. Now, if she checks you and you're +2, then go ahead and start pushing. So what laboring down means, a lot of people get confused about laboring down. Now, here's the thing. If baby's in distress, if there's something else weird going on, it may not be the best for you. But we've been doing laboring down since before the doctors knew we were doing laboring down. This is a labor nurse trick. So when we check you, if you are not a +1, +2, and we can't feel the baby moving down with contractions, then the best thing we can do is delay pushing. And we can delay it for up to 2 hours. During the 2 hours, we're using the positioning changes. We're using the peanut ball. We're moving you and we're helping the baby naturally just slide down. So what laboring down means is you're just laying there passively letting the baby move down instead of pushing for those 2 hours, because you can guarantee first time mom, especially if you start pushing at a negative or a zero, or even a one, you're going to be pushing for a long time. By delaying that, you can cut your pushing time down by hours. So please, please talk to your labor nurse about this. This is when we see the most decelerations. This is when they get the least oxygen, because when you're contracting, they are cut off from the supply. They have to use the reserve. So the more and longer you're pushing, the more distressed they get. So by delaying that pushing and cutting your pushing down, you have a less negative effect on the fetal acid base status and oxygenation, which means to you, the baby is going to have a better outcome and better Apgar. I don't know why it's not the practice everywhere. One of my students is on here, Jenny. She's pregnant with her second L&M baby. And she said with baby number one, Melly, it was 30 minutes because of learning from me. And that was baby number one, you guys. Most baby number ones, you're going to hear horror stories. You can love your experience. The majority of my students get to the hospital at 7 to 8 centimeters. And they're not hysterical in pain. They're like, oh my God, I'm 7 to 8 centimeters. Had no idea. Because when we work on your mindset, when we teach you and we give you your options and you understand your body and you're not full of fear and anxious thoughts, then you actually love your experience, increases your tolerance to pain. This is how our bodies work. Yep, Jenny said she got there at 8 centimeters, and someone else said she got there at 7. I'm telling you guys, the majority of my students, if they make a decision based on what they know. Now, of course, there's some people who make decisions based on fear, but we try to teach you how not to do that. And that's why we have our labor bat signal add-on. Our students can add on the labor bat signal, which is a group chat on Telegram with me and two doulas and our mama. And that starts at 36 weeks to 8 weeks postpartum. So we're in there when she starts getting fearful or she thinks her water broke or her doctor's telling her some asinine tip, and she can weigh it back with us. And then we give her the information and the support to be able to make a good decision for her. We don't tell her what to do. We give her information so that she can make the right decision for her, because that's what it's all about. My students say that I lay it out for them and they pick and choose what's best for them. I do believe that I'm a high-risk labor and delivery nurse. I do believe there's a need for us. I do believe that you need our interventions when you need them, but you sure as hell don't need them when it's convenient for someone else. So one of my mantras inside of my community is nothing out of convenience or curiosity. And my students will bleep that out during their labor. I had one student, the doctor wanted to break her water, which I teach my students to delay or not do at all. And she said, nothing out of convenience or curiosity. Her midwife was like, okay, no problem. And her water broke on its own like 10 minutes later. You have the most powerful voice in the labor room. More than mine, more than your provider, more than anyone in the hospital. Your voice carries the most power. You've been led to believe that it doesn't. You've been led to believe that you can't speak up, or that if you do, you're a problem patient, or you're bothering someone, or you're insulting someone's training. That is not true. You were born with your body. You know your body. And you know this baby in a way we don't know this baby. Do not negate how powerful your voice is. And again, I'm going to refer to Ashley's birth. So I was with Ashley in her birth, and my hands were tied. I had no power. Her day shift was amazing. Her night shift was amazing too. She just was new and green. But there were some things going on that I was getting a little pissed off about. And finally, I really spoke up, but really I had no power. Ashley did. But Ashley was laboring. She didn't feel like talking. She didn't feel like advocating. During your labor, your voice is the most powerful. Second to that is your partner. The two of you can accept and refuse anything. Now, I teach my students, we can refuse anything, but should we? So if you're educated, you'll know when and why. You'll know when it's appropriate. You'll know when it's convenient. And I'm just going to tell you, straight up right here. If you doubt that providers will use interventions for their own convenience, you're wrong, because they do. Not all of them. There's some amazing providers I've worked with, but I've been at some of the top facilities in the U.S., and you can bet your damn dollar that a lot of them use interventions to speed up your process so they can go home or go out or eat dinner or sleep. It happens all the time. And if you think it doesn't, you're wrong. I'm telling you, your voice is the most powerful thing that you can bring into the labor room. Again, you have to be educated to know what your options are, because if you don't know the options, you don't have any. So here's why. What do I mean about the voice? You have to feel confident in your rights. You have a right to refuse. You have a right to ask more questions. You have a right to get more information. Informed consent means they've told you everything they want you to do, all the risks and benefits, and they've told you the alternatives, and they've asked you if you have any more questions. You have a right to ask for time. If it's not emergency, ask for time. You don't have to. So there are times when a doctor may say, you know, we just need to do this or do that. Well, okay, is that an emergent decision? Is there an alternative? Can I have time to think about it? Sometimes time is all your body needs. Seriously, this is so important. You have to start having the conversation early. So I'm going to give you an insider tip, what I teach my girls. If you're 18 weeks and you say to your doctor, hey, doctor, I took a birth class, Labor Nurse Mamas, because it's the best in the world. And I really want to talk about pushing positions because I don't want to push in lithotomy and I'm probably not going to push on my back. And your doctor says something like, oh, we'll talk about that later. You're only 18 weeks. Girl, there, he is bamboozling you and pushing you off. You can say, no, I really would like to hear your thoughts now. Because if he comes back and says, well, I push everybody in lithotomy, it's safer, you need to get your butt out of there, or you need to say, hey, I'm going to refuse that and you won't be doing that to me. If you're not confident enough in doing that, get a provider who will support you and the natural process of birth. So start talking about it early. You can switch providers all the way up to 40 weeks. Here's another insider tip. You can fire your doctor during labor. So if they are being completely opposite of who you thought they were, you can fire them and they legally have to leave your room and we legally have to provide you with a new provider. You can fire your labor nurse. And I teach all of this in my classes. If you have a nurse, if they switch nurses during your shift, update your new nurse. Tell her what you want. Talk to her. Have a conversation. Before you push is when you have to do all this. You have to be educated, not during pushing. You have to be educated for birth before you step into the birth room. During pushing, be confident to ignore. While you're pushing, just like I said Ashley did, they were telling her what to do. She just looked over at me with the sweetest little smile, did a little wink at me, and just did what she wanted. You don't have to fight for what you want during pushing or during labor. Just do what you want. We're not going to manhandle you. We're going to go to jail if we lay hands on you and force you. I promise, we're not going to. Here's another insider tip. It is a shift for your doctor and your nurses. It is not their experience. It's your experience. That's why you can't wing it. That's why you have to be educated. That's why you have to go in confident with your own voice. Because for me, I'm clocking in, I'm clocking out. Now, yes, if it was really amazing and I bonded, I remember a lot of my births. If something terrible happened, probably going to remember it. But for the most part, it's a shift for your nurse and she's going home. It is not her birth, but for you and this baby, this is a once in a lifetime event. I don't care how many babies you have. This baby right now, it's only one. Protect it, fight for it, and have your own voice in it. That is just so key. So Courtney said, the birth course was so helpful. There were decisions to be made that I didn't even know existed. If you don't know your options, you don't have any. But because my husband and I were educated, we were able to turn down interventions that we didn't want. They were also able to accept the ones they needed for baby safety. She knew the difference. That's really what I want you to hear. And then Lauren said she was able to advocate for her birth. I'm so glad I took these classes because I felt more prepared for labor and I was able to ask questions and advocate for myself. Find your voice. It is the most powerful voice in the room. And Ari said, thanks to you and your classes, I was able to empower myself and my husband to make safe and educated decisions. So glad I stumbled upon your account. You seriously changed lives for women and I can't thank you enough. And then Brenna said, I went in today more confident in my body and my birth plan than I ever thought possible. Thank you for giving me confidence in my body and teaching me how to own my labor. Okay, I have a question for you guys. If you're listening on the podcast, get ready to shoot me a DM on Instagram or an email. Who or what is the one thing needed in the birth room, in the labor room, for the birth to happen? What is the one thing that is absolutely needed in the labor room for a birth to happen? Someone answer me. One thing needed for a birth. Yes, exactly. You. So who is the birth queen? You are. I want you guys to write that to me. I'm the birth queen, or write birth queen. You are so powerful. You're not just a bystander who is sitting there, you know, at the side. You're the center of the universe when it comes to your birth. This is so freaking important. So again, here, let's recap. Trust your instincts. What you do during pregnancy does affect your pushing experience. Let gravity work for you. Timing is everything. And find your voice. So if you're just getting here and you didn't hear this whole class, come back and watch it. I'll post it later. We have two birth classes. We have Calm Labor, Confident Birth class. And this is for medicated, unmedicated, first baby, 10th baby. Doesn't matter. Home birth, hospitals, for everyone. It covers epidurals, unmedicated birth. It covers all types of birth, all in one. This is going to help you stop feeling anxious and nervous about labor and have confidence to understand what your voice should say and what you should say yes or no to. And it's going to teach you all the different pain management techniques. I want to say over 50. You're going to be able to understand your rights as a patient and a mama. You're going to avoid the cascade effect of intervention and feel prepared for your best birth story. You can join either class at labornursemama.com/join. And you can use a coupon code LOVE to get $100 off. The VBAC lab is completely catered to my VBAC mamas, mamas who want to have a vaginal delivery after a cesarean. This is going to help you feel less overwhelmed by the conflicting advice. And this is going to help you be an integral part of your birth. So again, if you guys want to join the class, you can go to labornursemama.com/join. And that is going to give you the entire birth class inside my mama membership. And my girls who are on here can tell you how insanely amazing it is. You get 30 days free and then it's $19 a month. You can cancel at any time. But the glory of the membership is this is going to give you extra support, extra education. Inside the membership, you're going to have a newborn academy class, the birth coach class, and you're going to have the postpartum recovery class. You're going to have over 70 workshop recordings. We do an expert workshop once a month. I think next week or the week after, I'm doing a partner support class for the partners. We do morning coffee with Trish on Zoom, doula coffee chats on Zoom with the doulas. We have a postpartum support and healing hangout every Thursday. We have a private chat going for our pregnancy moms, our postpartum moms. We have new expert workshops every month, and we have a life coach who is helping our moms once a month break generational cycles and heal from trauma. It's insane. So again, you can get everything for $197. It's normally $297 just for the birth class. You can get all of it for $197. Test out the community and hopefully you'll stay with us. All right, you guys, have an amazing day. I need to go make lunch for my little guy. And I am just so grateful that you guys hung out with me. You are going to push like a pro. Trust me. Get educated, get prepared, know your options, and find your voice. All right, you guys, have an amazing day. education allows you to decrease the anxiety and increase the confidence. So we've got links in the show note. You can go to labornursemama.com/join and use the coupon code LOVE to get $100 off. I can't wait to meet you. As always, hit subscribe, please. Leave a review. They mean so much to me. It really helps spur me on. You know, I've got all of you guys out there listening. I can't see you. The only way I can hear from you is if you hit a review. All right, I'll see you again next Friday. Bye for now.